All right, we're ready to get rolling, huh? That was fun. I enjoyed that children's dedication there. All right, I want to take the rest of our time, dive into something that is probably the most important part of each one of our lives. Eddie tabbed his second sermon as, "What is the gospel?" or "What is the good news?" So let's pray and then we'll get started. Thank you, Father, for this time together, God. Thank you for just the children that you have given to us, God, and as a church body. And we do want to just really be remembering that prayer of commitment that we made to you, and both as parents and as the local body of Christ here. We want to be ones that are an example, Lord, and we want to be ones that understand the gospel and are committed, Lord, to being your ambassadors out there. And we pray that you just help us this morning, help us to understand the gospel better, help us to understand how we can just understand the good news and share it with others. And we pray that you would help us to be the ambassadors, God, that you want us to be in our world, in our time. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Let's open up with a couple of key verses explaining the gospel to us. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, this may be the most famous of all the gospel verses. "For it is by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one can boast, so that no one may boast." Look at the next one. I really love these verses in Romans 3. "But now God has shown us a way to be made right with Him without keeping the requirements of the law, as was promised in the writings of Moses and the prophets long ago. We're made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. And this is true for everyone who believes, no matter who we are. For everyone has sinned, we all fall short of God's glorious standard. Yet God in His grace freely makes us right in His sight. He did this through Christ Jesus when He freed us from the penalty for our sins. For God presented Jesus as the sacrifice for sin. People are made right with God when they believe that Jesus sacrificed His life, shedding His blood. This sacrifice shows that God was being fair when He held back and did not punish those who sinned in times past. For He was looking ahead and including them in what He would do in this present time. God did this to demonstrate His righteousness, for He Himself is fair and just, and He makes sinners right in His sight when they believe in Jesus." These are great verses. They give us real true information about what is the gospel. Last week I was reading an email from Mike Cater, a missionary in Nepal. He was emphasizing the importance of knowing these verses, and which explained the gospel beginning with Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. And he relayed how, you know, gospel knowledge is lacking in his part of the world, even among Christian workers, and how he longs to teach them and train them in the true knowledge of the gospel. It is important to understand, what is the gospel? The gospel, you know, as we know, it reveals the miracle of salvation and the promise of eternal life. This is just such a great verse from Romans 1, 16 and 17. "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, but the righteous man shall live by faith." But the question then, you know, kind of pops up, well, is the gospel just information, just knowledge that we learn? How do we get to this point of salvation? One night I was giving a friend's brother a ride home. The little brother was 11, and we'll call him Joe. And I said, so I thought, long ride home, I'll share the gospel with Joe. So I was asking him, "So Joe, you know, I know this wouldn't happen, but if you were to die tonight and you stood before God in heaven and He asked you, 'Why should I let you into heaven?' how would you respond to God?" And Joe says, "Well, I'd tell Him I'm a pretty good person." How many times have we heard that, right? It's like all over the place. It's like almost the universal response. I'm a pretty good person. So I asked Joe, I said, well, how confident are you in your answers? And he says, well, somewhat confident. So I'm thinking, well, I'll stay practical and every day start chatting about what a judge would do at sentencing. So if the one who's been convicted of a crime pleads for mercy and he tells the judge, wow, what a good person I've been. And so, Joe, what do you think the judge will do? Well, Joe says he'll probably send him to jail or prison. That's right, Joe. The judge will do just that. So, Joe, have you ever done anything bad that you know is wrong, the wrong thing to do? Well, sure, all the time. I make mistakes. I'm human. So what will God do with all your mistakes? Things that you admit were wrong. Wow, I had never thought about that. So I go on, I tell Joe about Jesus and how Jesus paid the penalty for our sins when he died on the cross, even though he didn't have to pay any penalty because he was sinless. His innocent blood actually can wash away our sin, Joe. And if you accept his payment for your sins and trust in Jesus for Jesus' payment for your sins, you can be forgiven and assured of eternal life. Joe, isn't that good news? You can ask Christ to forgive you for all the wrong things you've done. Jesus is alive and wants to know you in a personal way. You probably know that feeling. Whenever you get to share with someone, you feel great and you're hoping for a good response. Well, we had a long ride, as I remember. So after a while, I follow up. So, Joe, if you were to die tonight and you were to ask Christ and you were to ask, stood before God in heaven and asked him, why should I let you into heaven? What would you say? I'd tell him I'm a pretty good person. Right? I mean, it was like, wait a minute. Didn't you just understand what I was saying? And I'm probably exaggerating, but I'm sure, I'm almost positive that I went through the gospel 6 times. Each time it was the same answer. I'm a pretty good person. It's like, what is going on here? Well, we know the answer. The gospel is not just information. There's a lot going on in one's heart that determines that response that you give to someone talking to you about the gospel. In this case, Joe just wasn't interested in trying to understand and respond to the gospel. That's just the reality of the situation. So this last Friday, I was telling my work friend that we were having a baby dedication, you know, this coming Sunday. She asked me, well, are you baptizing the babies? I said, no, we believe in a believer's baptism. She was curious about a believer's baptism, so I took the opportunity to talk to her about, you know, what baptism means. I said, explain that baptism is something you do after you've accepted Christ by faith, believing that Christ has paid for your sins on the cross, and by believing in Christ and his payment for your sins on the cross, you can receive the gift of eternal life. And I knew kind of where she was, so I spent some time kind of going over that eternal life is a gift. It's not something you can earn, but something God gives to us after we trust Jesus as our Savior and accept his salvation. Just like we were reading there in Ephesians 2 and Romans 3. Well, I didn't get a response. You know, I was kind of hoping that I would, but I didn't. But that's okay, you know, because I think in a lot of ways we probably get a whole lot more opportunities to indirectly talk about the gospel with someone than it would necessarily be like with Joe, you know, the direct kind of discussion about, don't you laugh, Mike. But, you know, in the direct, you can really kind of go down, you know, whatever his response is, you can kind of keep drilling down. But in an indirect, you're just kind of sharing the gospel. You're just sharing the good news. You're allowing that person just to hear the gospel without being, like, put on the spot. So that's what I did in that situation. All right. We try to be good ambassadors of the good news, both direct and indirect. And we just leave the results up to God. We all have our own story, don't we, of how we came to understand the good news, how we came to understand salvation. I was raised going to church, but was not a Christian. In college, I switched my major from political science to philosophy. I was searching for truth. And I understood that philosophers were also searching for truth. So I remember the first time I was in class, and it was mentioned that God is connected with this pursuit of truth. And I that they were telling me that there were these absolute truths which God had laid out in the Bible. I was very agitated. No, God can't be the answer. Truth alone is the answer. And my heart was just not ready to hear the good news yet. The more I searched in the wrong places, the more depressed and sad I became. And I'm sure we can all kind of be in this same situation. How bad you feel when you're lost, when you don't know Christ, when you just understand that you're just feeling that weight of guilt, that weight of sin that is on your shoulders. And I just kind of, I could almost picture my shoulders being weighed down with sin. And I wanted relief. That's what I really, really wanted. I wanted an understanding of, wow, how do I get rid of this sin? How do I get rid of this guilt? And that's what I was looking for. It was just the guilt of my sin was overwhelming. As it says in Ephesians 2:1-3, once you were dead in your sin because of your disobedience and your many sins. You used to live in sin just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander of the powers in the unseen world. He is the spirit at work in our hearts of those who refuse to obey God. All of us used to live in that way, following the passionate desires and inclinations of our sinful nature. By our very nature, we were subject to God's anger just like everyone else. That's me. That's where I was. That's where all of us prior to salvation, where we all are dead in our sin. We're still alive. We're not dead. We're just unable to understand the forgiveness that we have in Christ. And so, thankfully, God was working in my heart and mind a desire to know the good news. So I asked Christ to forgive me and save me, and I received Christ's forgiveness and eternal life. So in that sense, the gospel is news, right? The gospel is good news. It is information, but the gospel strikes home on the one whose heart is ready to receive it. All right, let's close looking at Romans 10:8-11 for an inkling of that amazing event when one trusts Christ for salvation. The message is very close at hand. It is on your lips and in your heart. And that message is the very message about faith that we preach. If you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and it is by openly declaring your faith that you are saved. As the scriptures tell us, anyone who trusts in him will never be disgraced. Yes, when we're ready, we declare our faith in Jesus Christ as our Savior. That is the good news, right? That is the point of salvation. When we understand the gospel, not just as in our own mind, but in our own heart, like it says there in Romans, believing in your heart. And so that's the point of the good news there. So let's remember what God has done for us in the gospel, the good news, reading from Ephesians 2. But God is so rich in mercy, and he loved us so much. Even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. It is only by God's grace that you have been saved, for he raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ Jesus. So God can point to us in all future ages as examples of the incredible wealth of his grace and kindness toward us, as shown in all he has done for us who are united with Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you so much for the good news. Thank you for the gospel. Thank you, Lord, for just how you worked in each one of our lives who are Christians, helping us understand what it means to be saved, what it means to have that personal relationship with you, what it means to have forgiveness of sins, God, to have that weight, that incredible weight of sin be removed, and that you removed our sins as far as the east is from the west. It is such an amazing thing when we trust in you and have those sins removed and believe in you for eternal life. We thank you that we don't have to fear the grave. We don't have to fear our physical death anymore because, you know, when we die, we'll be present with you. What an amazing promise that is, God. We can be confident of our eternal life in you. And we thank you for the gospel. We thank you for the good news. In Jesus' name, amen.